Wonderful schus that we are going to be learning this man Be'ezra Hashem. Basics of Masechta's Erchin. Erchin, it's an important Masechta, and some of these issues do come up, most specifically in Parshas Bichukosai, Vayikra Perek Chaf Zayin. We have long discussions here about the dinim of Erchin. I want to try to do two things tonight. Number one is just to explain pretty briefly what exactly Erchin is, so we can have an understanding as to what exactly we're going to be talking about. Part of the goal, and this often comes up in Kayetzman, is to give us a better understanding or appreciation, just like we had this in Chorzman also, for some of the areas in Chumash. Sometimes they tend to be a little bit harder, and hopefully we'll do these things in a way that we'll be able to, you know, a lot of things will be much clearer in our own learning of Chumash, and certainly as far as our familiarity with the world of Kachim. There's something called Erchin. What is Erchin? So the Torah tells us, "V'daber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem." It's again Vayikra Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Aleph Beis. Ish Kiyafli Neder Be'erkecha Nefashos LaHashem. That a person has the ability to commit himself to donate to Mikdash his own value. Now there are different kinds of erchin. He can also donate the value of other people. I could say I want to donate to Mikdash the erech of that person. Those erchin, so erchin in general, is a set price. Chumash is going to describe a lot of it. The Mishnayos, the Gemara's, Maseches Erchin speak about some of the details of this. That when you're going to be, when I say I'm paying for my erech or his erech, so that is something which is a set price depending on gender, depending on the age of the person. Those are all going to be factors in terms of exactly how much you pay. So whether the person is in great shape and the person's doing wonderfully, the person's not in as great shape, the set price of Erchin, that is something which is going to be there no matter what. What's clear already from Mishnah and Erchin and Daf Beis and Rashi there, it's a Gemara in Meseches Megillah also in Daf Chav Gimel, that's really only if I say his Erech I'm going to pay or I'm going to pay my Erech, that it's a set official price that I have to give to the Beis HaMikdash. If I say Dimei Ploni Alai, if I say I want to pay his value, not the words Erech, if I say I want to pay, I want to pay my damim or his damim, then I'm going to pay. Says the Gemara Maseches Megillah and Daf Chav Gimel, Shamin Oso Ke'eved. Then we're going to pay not the set price, but how much he actually would be worth on the open market. So you have the ability to decide that you're going to give the Beis HaMikdash either your value or the value of a friend or things like that. If I say erech, so that taps into like a set specific kind of value. If I say damim, that's going to be based on what exactly his value really is. Again, Rashi writes that also in the way beginning of Maseches Erchin, that if I say ma'arichin is erech kasuv beparsha, erech is a set amount found in Chumash. If I say dmei alai, then shaman oso ke'evan nimchar bashok, then we're going to assess, you know, how much would he be worth if he were sold as an evet. That's just some of the basics of what it is. There's also erchin, not only for you or for your friends or for people. The Chumash tells us there's also in behema you can also give a degree of there's some erchin for behema, erchin for other things. We'll speak about hopefully in future weeks some of the other erchins and their relationship to the erchin of Adam. We're speaking primarily tonight about the mitzvah of erchin Adam, when a person gives you the value of himself or the value of a friend, exactly how that works. I'll share with you one interesting, I think a very, very beautiful mahalach from Moshe Feinstein here in source number 6. We are beginning to delve into the waters. That is the Torah of Moshe. It's a very, very beautiful insight. Moshe points out that what seems to emerge here in Erchin is that you really have two different values. A person has his set established value, his Erchin, and a person also has the practical value, how much he would be sold in the shuk. If he were an Evan, how much is he really worth? Rav Moshe suggests, because this is teaching us, that when it comes to assessing the value of a person, every person really has two values. It's a vort. Rav Moshe says, number one, a person has his madrega ha-kavua la-adam, his set, what should be his set, natural value. That's what the Chumash responds as Erchin. To attain that madrega, says Rav Moshe, that is something which yachol kol adam lahasig bekalus. That's something which the average person can achieve fairly easily. Damim, though, that refers to what a person does based on his own life choices, how much he works or doesn't work, and a person has the ability to, if he works very hard, to be worth more than what should have been his set and natural erech. And says Rav Moshe, if a person doesn't work hard at all, and a person, Rachmana Litzlan, does terrible things, so that's a person where he can lower what should be his set erech. So Moshe said that every person, there is a sort of natural expectation, a set madregas hakavua, his madregas hakavua, his set amount. But some people can go more and some people can go less, just depending on, you know, how much work they really put in, which is, I think, a very, very important insight into the world of Rosh Hashem that Rav Moshe here describes. Akan, a little bit of a hakdama, what's erech and what's dmei alai. What we're going to try to do, how are we so far, as far as the clarity? One, two, and what we're going to try to do now is to develop three mehalchim to the nature of erech in general. What is it? What is the nature of this obligation when I say I'm donating my erech? When I say I'm donating his erech, what exactly is the nature of that obligation? If you can remind me at the end to quote an Ishbitzer, which I didn't put on the sheet, but it's really beautiful, and I think if you're really a little bit creative, probably Tali and a Mahalach as we've shown him. So the first Mahalach is as follows, and this is one of the reasons why we're speaking about it. We have this chus of learning in morning and afternoons, and every time other than, I guess, Thursday nights, more or less, Meseches Nedarim. So Nedarim, we know that the Neder, the Ran tells us, the Rambam tells us, it's in the Ramban also, that there are two different kinds of Nedarim. There are Nidrei Isser and Nidrei Hekdesh. Nidrei Isser are regular Nedarim I take on a Rishus kind of an object. I'm trying to Aser this table onto me. Nidrei Hekdesh, different Rishonim define Nidrei Hekdesh in different ways, but it more or less are those Nedarim when I want to offer something into the Mikdash. It says the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Erechin. Now the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah points out, as does the Radvaz, that the Rambam is trying to justify something. In our Shas, so Nedarim is in Seder Nashim, and something like Erechin is in Seder Kachim. They're placed in very different areas of Shas. That's not what the Rambam does. The Rambam, when he organizes Torah Shebaal Peh into Mishnah Torah, so the Rambam has Sefer Hafla. And the Sefer Hafla, that is a Sefer of what Rambam speaks about, Shavuos, Nedarim, and Erechin. Why is the Rambam including Erechin in this discussion of Nedarim and the like? So that's why, the Ketzer Mishnah explains, Rabbam introduces Hilchos Erechin with the following comment. Ha'erechin heim neder michlal nidrei hektesh. Erechin are a form of nidrei hektesh. I can say, this behemoth is a karban. That's one kind of nidrei hektesh. For some reason, if I say, I want to give a man a tzedakah, that's nidrei hektesh. And Erechin's also nidrei hektesh. If I say, I'm going to donate to Mikdash, my erech, that's a form of nidrei hektesh, which means essentially as follows. Mahalach number one, Erechin is a form of a neder. It's a form of a neder. The only chiddush of Erechin is that here I don't have to specify exactly how much I'm giving, because when I say the Erech, the Torah established what that was. But one way of looking at it, the way some Achronim entertain viewing it, is that it's essentially built in. It's built in. The Stam, when I say I'm giving my Erech, so it's Ki'ilu, I said, the Erech found in Torah. It's basically like a regular neder, just one in which I sort of said without explicitly saying the exact amount I'm going to give. Mashal l'maha davar doma. When we talk about the Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Makos, we reference it in Baba Basra and the Tosfos there. Stam halva shloshim yom. So what does it mean? Stam halva shloshim yom. If I borrow money from you, I stam have 30 days to pay you back. So not the Bishkarav. The more standard way of saying it is that, even though we didn't say, I'm going to pay you back in 30 days, since that's the setting, it's ke'ilu I said that. It's ke'ilu when I borrow money from you and don't say anything, it's ke'ilu we decided I'm going to pay you back in 30 days. So to hear, I said I'm going to give my erech, it's ke'ilu I said a specific amount. In which case, erechin is essentially a form of neder. It's a form of neder, of nidrei hektish. That is mahalach number one. What some Achronim suggest, there are those who suggest that, I believe, within the Rambam, that does seem to be what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Erechin. However, there are reasons why you would think that Erechin works in a very, very different way, and I think some of this is going to get actually, it's very powerful. But we'll start with something which many of us, if not, came out all of us, know. What are you learning this, man? Which many of us know. And that's the following. Some of the Achronim asked this question. Mitzvah HaMelech asked this question. I think the Sefer called Dibros Ariel asks this question. It's an interesting question. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah, with Mitzvah Aseh Tzadi Dalet, quotes, and Mitzvah Aseh, sorry, Kuf Yedalet, quotes a Mitzvah Aseh of Erechin. quotes Mitzvah Sasei of Erchen. He quotes Erchei Adam separately from Erchei Behem and other things. But the Rambam focuses on that. Quotes Mitzvah Sasei of Erchen. As Mitzvah Melech, I don't understand. If Erchen is just a form of Neder, meaning it's a form of Nidrei Hekdesh, didn't the Rambam already quote Nidrei Hekdesh? That's Mitzvah Sasei Tzadik Dalet. The Rambam quotes Nidrei Iser and Nidrei Hekdesh all as one mitzvah. So the Rambam already counts Nidarim, and included in Nidarim is Nidrei Iser and Nidrei Hekdesh. So according to the Rambam, why is he quoting the mitzvah of Erchen as a separate mitzvah? If it's really just a form of Nidrei Hekdesh, shouldn't it be included in the other mitzvah of Nidarim, of Nidrei Iser, Nidrei Hekdesh? Why is the mitzvah of Erchen going to be counted separately? L'chora, it's included in Nidrei Iser, Nidrei Hekdesh, like the Rambam already quoted. And what can't you say? It's going to be this point great, that's all good. You can't say the pshat is for the Rambam that he holds, even though they're all the same, since they have different halachas, we're going to count it separately. Because Tzadik Dalet has Nidrei Iser and Nidrei Hekdesh, which have different halachas. The Rambam is comfortable counting all in one mitzvah of Nidarim, things that have different halachas. So why is Erchen going to be counted separately? Isn't it really just a form of Neder? Why is it counted separately? As far as clarity in that question, 1, 2, and three. It's not a bad tie into Nidarim, if I can just point that out. That question, I think, actually ties in. Especially if you start by talking about Nidrei Iser, Nidrei Hekdesh, and Shir, then it actually works. So what that leads to is a variety of achronim to suggest, well, maybe Erchen is not really just a form of neder. Maybe Erchen is something else. Maybe it's something else. What exactly is it? So here we have two additional possibilities. First mahalach, it's a neder. Second mahalach is going to be a mahalach which is found in the Rashba to Kiddushin. It's a mahalach which is also found in the Chazanish, more or less, in Erchen, in Simen Chavtes. It's not the 29th Simen of Erchen. It's the first Simen the Chazanish has on Erchen. It's just in the Sefer and Kachim. So the Rambam here, although it's also not the 29th in Kachim, I don't really know how. I guess it was published separately, and that's why it's Chavtes, but good luck finding it. And that's the following. The Gemara in Meseches Kiddushin and Daf Yud Gimel distinguishes between two kinds of payments that a person may be obligated to pay. One is called a milvah haksuva b'Torah, and one's a milvah she'ena ksuva b'Torah. What's the difference in a milvah ksuva and ena ksuva b'Torah? So the Rashi writes, a milvah ksuva b'Torah is something which the Ribbono Shel Olam is mechayev you. What's an example of something the Ribbono Shel Olam is mechayev you? Let's say pidyon haben, maybe an example. That's one of Tobit's examples. You are obligated to milvah ksuva b'Torah. This was last year, Kaitzman. I didn't do pidyon haben because of C-section, but let's say as an example, you have a kippah. You don't accept upon yourself to obligate myself to give money to a kohen. The Torah imposes that chiyuv. As opposed to a regular halva'ah, which is not an obligation imposed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, rather it's an obligation that we accept upon ourselves. I borrow money from you, I knowingly go into it. Difference between a milva ksuva b'Torah and a milva she'ena ksuva b'Torah. Two different obligations. There may be differences, the Gemara describes, in terms of how you collect. How can you collect from Shibudim? When can you and can you? But that's the distinction that the Gemara has. What's interesting is as follows. Tosfos describes it a little bit differently, but it's clear in the Gemara that Erchen is called a milva haksuva b'Torah. Erchen's called a milva haksuva b'Torah. Asks the Rashba, it's a question that the Rashba deals with. Ask the Rashba, well, I don't really get something. If the definition, please hold up a little bit. If a milveh haksuva b'Torah means one that the Torah imposed upon you, so why is Erchen called milveh haksuva b'Torah? Erchen, you accept upon yourself. Pidyon haben, you're forced into. Erchen, you accept upon yourself. You say, Erchu alai, I'm paying my erech. I'm paying his erech. I did it upon myself. Why is that called a milvah ksuva b'Torah? Why is that called a Torah-imposed obligation? Tosfos explains what milvah ksuva b'Torah means in a different way. Kiddushin Yugimel. But the Rashba offers the following suggestion. It's one the Chazanish has also. The Chaznis has it. He uses a model from a Inyanei Nezirus. It's one that many of us will speak about on Daf Gimel, I believe, in Maseches Nedarim, about the way that Nazir works. I'll just say it out. It's really Tali in different days in Rishonim, in different days in Achronim, but the following idea. Says the Chaznis brings a connection to Nazirus. So I'll say that that way first. A Nazir, suggests some Rishonim and Achronim, does not accept upon himself directly all of his prohibitions. A Nazir does not accept upon himself directly he's going to not be Tamei Meis and not drink wine, he's going to grow his hair out. That's not what happens. What a Nazir does is he accepts something that makes himself into a Nazir, and once he makes himself into a Nazir, so Dine Nazir now apply to him. He may have gotten it going by accepting upon himself to like become a Nazir, but the actual obligations are Torah-imposed obligations. He didn't necessarily intend all of those specific details, but once he became a Nazir, the Torah imposes upon him those obligations. Says the Chazon Ish, more or less, as the Rashba writes in Maseches Kiddushin, that's what happens in Erchin also. I accept upon myself the din of Erchin. I don't accept upon myself, nor do I like implicitly have in mind the particular amount that's found in Chumash. I accept upon myself, when I say Erchin alai, what I'm doing is, mitzvahs Erchin now applies to me. So I accept upon myself that I'm going to pay my value. What's the precise obligation? That becomes a Torah-imposed obligation. Mitzvahs Erchin is now going to apply. Actually not underlined section on the Rashba there. I guess I just misread that section as I was doing it 20 minutes ago. Lefi shehamarich einu mechayiv atzo besach yadua. A typical neder, I accept upon myself a specific amount, $50. Erchin, I don't accept upon myself a specific amount. Elisha Omer, Erech Ploni Alai. I just say that my value, his value is on me. Uvedibor zeh, chayvaso mitzvas hamelech lases lefi. And based on that, the Torah now comes and gives you a self-imposed obligation. What we have is as follows. Mahalach number one, Erchin. When I say I'm paying my Erech or your Erech, it's a neder. I'm essentially obligating myself a specific amount. It's like any regular neder. It's a form of nidre hektish. I'm committing to give to Beis HaMikdash. What the Rashba has, what the Chaznis has, is a different mahalach. It's not a regular neder. What's the difference? A regular neder is something which you accept upon yourself entirely. I say I'm going to give $1,000 to the shul. That's me totally self-imposed. That's not what Erchin is. Erchin is, I say, I'm going to pay his Erech, but I don't know what that means. And I'm not accepting upon myself a particular amount. I'm essentially saying, I'm going to have the din of Erechin apply to me. Why do I have to pay? Not because I directly obligated myself, but now the Torah comes along and the Torah obligates me to pay. The Torah's mitzvah me to pay, so suggests the Rashba there in Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Yud Gimel. That is not a Rashba. I don't think when you learn Kiddushin and Daf Yud Gimel that people jump on so much. When you learn Erechin, that Rashba becomes very, 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 very important. As far as clarity on that, 1, 2, and 3. One more time, 1, 2, and... Okay. There is an additional mahalach. This mahalach is very, very famous. I want to try to... I want to say out the mahalach first before we speak about where it's used. It'll be clear. Let me say out the mahalach first. It's a Shilta Giborim in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It also happens to be, as Machor pointed out, an Al-Sheikh in his Peir Shal HaTorah. It may also be Meduyak in the Gemara Maseches Erchin and Dafav, and that's the following. Maybe Erchin, what I'm really doing in Erchin is something else, and something which is actually very, very holy. When I commit on paying my Erech, what I'm doing is, I am Matpis, a loaded word for the Nadarim people, Kedusha upon myself. I'm establishing Kedusha upon myself. Why do I have to now pay? I have to be Podim myself. I am doing the equivalent, like in certain Kachim, you can be Makdish something, and it's Kadosh, and you're Poda it to take away some of its Kedusha, to have it be treated in many ways like normal Chulin, that I'm Makdish something, or like a Bechor, maybe Hektish, and I have to be paid to redeem it, to be Poda it. There are those who suggest that's what Erchin really is. Erchin's not a regular Neder, nor is it just a Torah-imposed financial obligation. Erchin is your capacity to bring Kedusha upon yourself or to bring Kedusha upon someone else, and then my obligations now to pay him as a, to pay as a result, to be poda his hekdesh. Let's say a couple of things. Number one, it's not so clear, as you're going to point out, there are any dine hekdesh per se that apply to this person. If I say erech olai, if I say I'm going to donate avi's erech, there are no dinim, there's no iser me'ila that applies to him, but there is some sort of a kedusha, albeit not a kedusha, that manifests itself in chiyuv mitzvos. But there is nevertheless considered to be some sort of a kedusha that's there. Asks Rav Yosef Engel, number 21, Gvurshman, asks Rav Engel an important question. He says, well, wait a minute. Ein adam oser davar she'eno shelo, ein adam machtish davar she'eno shelo. That's the Ron on Beis Min Aleph in Nidarim. Nidrei hektish, you can't donate if you don't own it. You can't be machtish something you don't own. So how can I be machtish my friend? I don't own him, and you can only be machtish that which is in your property. So says if Yosef Engel, no, you can actually be machtish your friend's things so long as that hektish does not oser anything. If the hektish does not come with any sort of prohibition, if the hektish doesn't come with any, I can't oser, I can't be machtish your behema, and now it has me'ila, and now you can't use it. But I can be machtish you if it's going to create, in a certain sense, a certain kind of kedusha, whatever that means. And it's not going to have any real sort of an impact. Umevuar svarishol de giborim, source number 21 here. De erichnu chalos machus kedusha. It's a form of kedusha on you. V'imkein, we see that person has koach adam laharich gam es chaveiro, even though he doesn't own him. Why? She'ena oseres bishum davar. As long as I don't oster you, I can myself give a certain sense of kedusha that is entirely to you. That's what erichin is, the ability for me to give kedusha to someone else. Here's the ishpitzer and the Nea Shiloach. It's an awesome ha'ara. And it's one that enlightens with the Giborim and the Al-Sheikh just makes so much more sense. The placement of erichin in Chumash is very interesting. It comes, notes the Nea Shiloach, immediately after the Tochacha. After the Tochacha, we get the din of erichin. Why? After all the rebukes that we get there, why are we getting a tocha? Says the Mea Shiloach, the following very beautiful insight. Because after the tocha, a person can feel very down, and a person can feel like he's not worth that much. So what's the mitzvah of erichin come to teach us? That you can be machtish yourself. And one way of saying it, if you say it in the Tzulik Borim, say it in a more precise way, you can bring a chalos kedusha upon yourself. Even post the tocha, you feel so bad about yourself, you feel like the Torah is telling you all these things, that you can still be machtish yourself. And says the Yishpitzer, which is such a one step further, I can even be machdish my friend. I can even be machdish him. I have the ability to bring kedusha to someone else. It's not just showing, the simple way of saying it, that he has value even post hochacha. It's more of a neder. No. I can be machdish him even post that. It does have a certain value. If I was continuing to darshan, which I am going to continue to darshan, I would suggest that's a unique kind of kedusha, maybe, I'll just suggest it, of the kedusha of erichin. Most kedusha comes with nafkaminas. Most kedusha is, and therefore something. Since we're in the world of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe parts of Emor, and Rav Moshe points out that's why Kohanim have more halachas. Kohanim have more kedusha, and because they have more kedusha, therefore they have more mitzvos. Not the opposite. Some think the opposite. More mitzvos lead to more kedusha. No. They have more kedusha, therefore more obligations. Often kedusha comes with more obligations, but this kedusha doesn't. I'm machdish him, and nothing changes. He has the same halachas. So what's the purpose of this kedusha? So part of it is, it's just the value in knowing that you can become kadosh. It's a value in knowing that you have hektish. It's a post-tocha kind of an idea. It may have no nafkaminas, but you are kadosh, and know that you're kadosh, and you're kadosh akadikach, that I'm chayef to be podayu. That I'm chayef to give your value, your hektish, to your value to the world of mikdash. Where does this originally come up? With this, we'll say this and then we'll rise and conclude. It comes up with a Ran in Maseches Shabbos. This is all very, very famous. The Ran's in the Daf Be'arif and Daf Samach Dalet Aleph Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that poskim tzedakah la'aniyim b'Shabbos. The Rishonim have a kasha. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos that you're allowed to give over money to aniyim, for number 15, 17. You have to give over, you have to establish giving tzedakah to aniyim on Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. Asks the Rishonim, but doesn't the Mishnah and Beitza tell us in Makdishin that you can't be Makdish things on Shabbos? So if I can't be Makdish things on Shabbos, why am I allowed to give tzedakah on Shabbos, especially if you view they're all like similar nidre hektos kinds of ideas, I'm commit to give something on Shabbos. Why can I commit to give tzedakah, but I can't go and I can't give, I can establish money for tzedakah on Shabbos, I can't establish items for hektish on Shabbos. So says the Ran in the name of Rabbeinu Hananel as follows. You're always allowed to designate things, you can give things on Shabbos, but I can't designate specific things on Shabbos. The Gemara says, poskin tzedakah la'aniyim b'Shabbos, I can commit in general to give tzedakah to aniyim on Shabbos. The issur of being makdish on Shabbos is you can't be makdish a specific kli. You can't be makdish specific things, but you're allowed to commit yourself generally to give over tzedakah and the like on Shabbos. So suggests Rabbeinu Hananel. I'm allowed to give general commitments of giving money on Shabbos, but I can't give specific kli yadua. Asks the Ran Akasha, how can you say that on Shabbos you're always allowed to give things as long as it's not a kli yadua? I can always commit to give tzedakah or to give hektish as long as it's not kli yadua. The Mishnah tells them, based on Daf Amud Vav, you can't give erchen on Shabbos. So ask the Ran the following question. Again, this may be, maybe just me, late at night, a lot of time in the sun. I'll try to focus a little bit. Ask the Ran the following question. If you understand Rabbeinu Hananel, that you can always commit to give things to hektish or to tzedakah, so long as you're not giving a specific item, and that's why I could say I'm giving $1,000 to the shul, not a specific, you know, dollars I'm giving. I just can't give on Shabbos a specific animal. That's not okay. So asks the Ran, how come I can't give erchen on Shabbos? What's the Ran assuming? The Ran's assuming that erchen is a similar to giving a certain amount of money to Mikdash. It's like taking a neder. It's the equivalent of poskin tzedakah la'aniyim. Just I'm giving it to Mikdash. Says the Ran, what do you mean? I can't give erchen on Shabbos. Even though that's not a kli yadua, how can you, Rabbeinu Hananel, say you can always give things on Shabbos as long as you're not committing to give a specific kli? What do you mean? In erchen, there's no specific kli that you're giving over. Says Shulta Giborim, yes, there is. Ein makdishin b'Shabbos. I can't say this animal is holy on Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're not allowed. It's too similar to business to give a specific animal and say this animal goes to Mikdash. And says the Shulta Giborim, all of erchen is the same thing, because all of erchen is being makdish a kli yadua. What's the kli yadua that you're being makdish when you give erchen? Yourself or your friend, whatever erech you're giving, you're really being makdish it. So says Shulta Giborim, the Rabbeinu Hananel is right. You can always on Shabbos give, make general commitments to give. You can never give, be makdish, or give over specific objects. Therefore, you can't give over a specific animal, and erchen's not good either, because erchen, says Shulta Giborim, is you being hektish, you being somewhat holy. Let me chaz what we did tonight, so that we can then just conclude, I guess. We saw erchen. There are two ways that a person can commit to pay value. I can either say my erech or your erech, they have to pay a set amount found in Chumash, or we can talk about Dumim, your actual value on the shuk, that Gemara Masechet Megillah Daf Chaf Gimel, Rashi and Erech Daf Beis and Aleph. I'm going to pay your actual value. Beautiful Ha'ara from Rav Moshe. That every person has two values. His what should be his kavua value, what's very easy for you to reach, what's more natural for you to reach. But there's also dumim, because a person has the ability to make themselves, God forbid, worth much less than would have been natural for them. They don't work hard at all. They don't invest at all. Or a person who works very hard can be end up his dumim can be much greater than what his erech really is. We saw three mahalchim in terms of how erchen works as a whole. One idea of erchen, it's essentially a neder, it's nidrei hektish. I can either give a certain amount, I can say explicitly $100, or I can say I'm giving your value, which is the equivalent of me saying I'm giving the value found in chumash, but it's really just a regular kind of a neder. Alternatively, it could be I just commit something upon myself, and then dine erchen, I just say I'm paying your erech, and then it's a Torah-imposed obligation. It's not that I committed to do it like a regular neder, I just say I'm going to pay your erech. The Torah then imposes upon me mitzvahs erchen. That's why the Rashba says erchen is a milva ksuva b'torah. It's a Torah-imposed obligation. Oh, I started it. You started it. But the real obligation is because the Torah is mechayev mitzvahs erchen once you said that. And the third idea, very famous, Shulta Giborim, it's found in the Al-Sheikh also, and some other Yachorim speak about a lot. Erchen is the ability for you to be makdish yourself or makdish someone else. And I can just pay to redeem him for that value. And the very beautiful insight of this, but sir, That's why it's post tocha. That post a rebuke, a person can always experience certain kind of kedusha. Our goal is to, again, we'll learn a lot of things that are in Chumash here, a lot of the basics. The goal is to open up the world a little bit and try to do so in a way that can be very, very important. Shkai, guys, I want to